You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in the sun to
promised lands,
to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back into another episode of Two Peas. So happy that you joined us today. I am like a kid in a candy store today because it is the first of a slate of an entire month of Halloween slash horror themed episodes that we're going to be doing for the month of October. This is the first one that's dropping this year, 2019, on Two Peas. We did it last year too. We had 5 horror slash Halloween themed episodes. And this dude came on for the first one last year, the first week of October. We chatted about our favorite horror movies from the 1990s with our good buddy Brian Loisos. And this time it's just Justin from the Epic Film Guys is back to once again discuss some horror type stuff with me. Justin, what's up, brother? Welcome back.
I am here to talk blood, guts, and fucking gore. I love horror.
I know you do.
I'm so much in the spooky season already. Pre-show, we were already discussing the fact that I was ready for fall on August 1st, man. I'm totally there already. I'm super excited to be here, man. So it's going to be a blast.
Me too, dude. I was just telling you, I just hit up the Halloween store that just opened. We're recording this in late August, and I'm like ready. You know, I'm so ready. I'm buying Halloween candy already. I fired up the Halloween lights behind me I was telling you about. We're on a video chat, and I threw that on there for Justin.
Yes.
I'm pumped, man. I got this skeleton behind me. He's here year-round, though, so that's not fair. This is my little storage here area. But I'm ready. So, what are we counting down today, Justin? Tell the folks what the countdown today is.
As far out as I was told here, top 5 zombie movies.
Top 5 zombie movies.
That's
right. That is correct. You win, sir. So, I gave you a few options a few weeks ago when I knew we were going to be doing some October-themed episodes here, and you did not hesitate and said you wanted to do this countdown. What does this genre mean to you, man? Zombie movies.
Well, I mean, it's definitely, especially in the past 10 to 15 years, become one of the more popular genres within the horror genre, I should say subgenres. But I believe it was just, one of the movies that will definitely be making my list was one of the first movies in the horror genre that I actually watched as a young guy at my buddy's house. And it just kind of opened me up to a different kind of horror picture. Up until that point, I had only seen, regular monster movies and a couple slashers. And when I saw a zombie movie, it was very foreign to me, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's something truly special about the undead. And I think that that's why zombies have kind of stuck with us here in the popular culture realm. And they've only gotten more popular with The Walking Dead, which unfortunately I'm not a fan of. But I appreciate what the show's done for the genre, right, in general, and obviously give it the appreciation it deserves. And I just think it's definitely, I mean, you got your Draculas, you got your vampires, you got your wolfmans, you got your slashers, and you got your zombies. I mean, I think honestly, if you had to put it on a scale, a top 5 of just like popular like horror villains, I mean, zombies right up there with the vampires, the werewolves, and whatever. So they're just extremely important.
I agree. And you were talking about The Walking Dead. Were you ever a fan of The Walking Dead or not since the beginning?
I was. Yeah. I was really, like, that first season, man, knocked my socks right the fuck off. And I mean, I think it was the fourth season is where my wife and I kind of just looked at each other and said, I don't think this is working for us anymore. And it was just a lack of interest. It was no longer doing for me what it was before. And I mean, there's no, making any mistake about the fact that the practical zombie makeup effects are fantastic. I mean, great. Greg Nicotero's work on the show has been brilliant. I mean, all of that stuff is in spades. So it's not that. It's just the characters for me. got stale, old, and I mean, I can't believe the show is still going on right now. I mean, how long can you keep that concept going? I mean, we've seen the zombie movies. Usually about a movie is long enough for those characters to live, and either they're going to live or they're going to die, and that's it. That's the end of it. So
right, but to your point, I mean, I also, I'm the same way. The first two or three seasons, and then it started to kind of wane for me a little bit. The graphic novels are amazing that they're based on. And what's cool about The Walking Dead is that it gave a new medium for the zombie genre or subgenre, which is kind of what we're talking about today. And it is blown up, man. I mean, even when I was making my list, I mean, let's talk about that real quick before we dive into our top fives. I mean, when you were compiling your list, is this, and I know you, and I know you are a very kind of a purist in the horror genre, and you like the throwbacks. Did you find yourself kind of, I mean, how modern is your list without giving any titles away? Or did you stick to the old school stuff?
It's not modern at all. not modern whatsoever. I mean, you know, and I had a debate, and I actually thought sitting down to do this list, I actually started working on it earlier at my break at work, and I was like, this is going to be easy. I already have it all in my head. And then when I put everything out in front of me, I'm like, if this was a top 10, it would be. But since it's a top five, I had to make some very difficult decisions here. And a lot of thought process went into this. And not to say that these movies aren't interchangeable in a way where like two could be three on the right day and vice versa. But, you know, there's just something special about all the movies that are on my list that they're movies that are their comfort food to me that I can throw in. I may even throw one in after we're done with this and watch it and fall asleep to it. You know, it's like a lullaby to me, you know? So,
I watched two of my top, I happened to be off work today when I was compiling my list. So I watched two of the movies that ended up in my top five today as we were recording this.
Nice.
So I'm on a bit of a zombie movie high right now, but I'll tell you, man, I kind of knew that about you. We're pretty close, and I kind of knew you were going to stick to kind of the old school kind of origin, which obviously is I respect, and I wanted to do that too, but I kind of moved some of those down to my top 10 in my honorable mentions just to make sure we didn't have a ton of crossover. There's one movie that I just could not omit just because it's my favorite in this genre, and it is an old school flick, so we may have crossover on that. But other than that, mine's pretty modern, man, so I want you to give me commentary on these modern kind of zombie movies that I'm going to be mentioning, because I didn't think you would really be diving into them. I'm sure you probably enjoy them. I'm assuming you've seen all of them. But I knew at the same time, you know, that you're going to kind of wear your heart on your sleeve there. So I'm not too surprised, but I'm excited to see what you brought to the table, man. All right, so we're doing our top five zombie movies, guys. Again, it's the first episode this year for our Halloween-themed episodes. There'll be a new one every week. I'm so excited. Justin from the Epic Film Guys, an old-time friend of the show. So glad he's back. You want to start us off, man? What's your number five zombie movie, Justin?
Some things won't stay down, even after they die. Number five, I'm coming in with Brain Dead, known in the United States as Dead Alive, Peter Jackson's slapstick horror comedy. I love this movie.
I know you do, and I can't believe this is your five, bro. Now I'm really intrigued. I was thinking this was going to be like your two or one, man. Go ahead.
I'm going to be completely honest here. My number five, there was three movies. It was three movies, and it was extremely difficult for me to get to this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 14 years old. I was at my buddy Nathan Clark's house. I walked down the stairs from just sitting in his room smoking weed, and his dad was watching this. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I wasn't used to like friends, parents sitting around watching horror movies, let alone something so insane and gory. And I actually got to sit down with him and he let me watch it with him. And when we got to the ending, I was like, this is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. Right. It just goes for the throat. You know, it goes crazy. It doesn't mess around at all. It totally gives you the goods in every way, shape and form. And the fantastic special effects are there. And it's got something that a lot of the other horror comedies don't have is the true slapstick appeal of it. The lunch scene there when the ear keeps falling in the soup is just, I mean, I was on the floor when I first watched it. It was just so hilarious. So
our main objective next year is to try to get some of the younger generation involved in the league. That's why I'm so pleased that you're on the committee, Vera.
Thank you, Nora. It's a great honor.
Have you had any thoughts on the agenda for the annual meeting?
Annual meeting.
needs another war.
Yes, dear.
I hear Sir Edmund Hillary's planning an attempt on the South Pole. By tractor. Have some more beans, Mrs. Matheson.
I'll have a few of those, lad.
I really think we should be going, dear. Thank you, Lionel.
What? No pudding?
This is one that it's that comfort food thing. I could watch it any day of the week and enjoy it. So for me, Dead Alive at my number 5.
It's an awesome one, man. It's in my honorable mentions. That's one of the ones I messaged you about earlier today that I took off my top 5 because I was almost certain you would mention it, because I don't know if you recall, but it was also one of your top 5 90s horror movies as well.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want to say maybe 3 or 4, but it was on that list as well. So I was pretty sure you'd give it some love. So great pick, man. Dead Alive is your number 5. All right, so here we go, man. Now, with the exception of one movie, I want to see... Well, let me say this real quick. Let me go back to Skype so I can see your face. All right. So I'm going to say this, and then I want you to give me your reaction, okay? So with the exception of my number one film on this list, all of my movies were released after the year 2000. What do you think?
I mean...
They're all in the last, like, 15 years, bro. But... All right. Again, I wanted to have some variety, but I do love all these movies. So my number 5 is from 2009. Zombieland is my number 5.
What are you, prospecting? Jesus Christ. You are a dangerous man. You're going to risk our lives for a Twinkie?
There's a box of Twinkies in that grocery store. Not just any box of Twinkies. The last box of Twinkies that anyone will enjoy in the whole universe. Believe it or not, Twinkies have an expiration date. Someday very soon, life's little Twinkie gauge is gonna go empty. Time to nut up or shut up.
Wonderful film. Very fun.
I love it. It's a lot of fun. That's the best word. That's the best way I can describe it as well. It is kind of keeping with kind of the traditional zombie lore that we know, and it's just fun, man. It's Woody Harrelson, Eisenberg, Emma Stone, kind of a young Emma Stone who was kind of early in her career. It's just awesome, man. A lot of great actors, and it is a blast. And I'm going to mention, actually, when we get a little bit later in my list, I'm going to mention one from the 80s that kind of is reminiscent a little bit of Zombieland for me, just kind of an updated version, because like I said, this came out in 2009. I like all the kind of like callbacks to American history that exists in Zombieland. I like, you know, the stupid kind of, and you like the Dale Earnhardt thing with the painting the 3 on the Hummer, and you know, it's just a lot of fun, man. It's just a blast. It's them literally trying to survive and killing zombies. You got the cameo from Bill Murray in there, which is one of the all-time great cameos in cinema, in my opinion. I mean, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't see spoilers about that before I saw it on the big screen, and I love Bill Murray. So that was awesome. So
I mean,
Zombieland,
yeah.
My number 5.
I mean, who doesn't love Bill Murray? I mean, I don't know a single person on this planet that I've ever talked to that said, you know what, I don't really like Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. If they did, they might get a punch in the face from me. No, totally, you're totally right. It's a lot of fun. You're not going to see it show up on my list at all, just being completely honest with you. So,
this is coming out, too, about a week or so before Zombieland Double Tap. Are you excited for that one, the sequel?
You know, I think the trailer looks just like the first one, as I described that. It looks like a lot of fun. I mean, it's been a long time. They waited super long, but I mean, the fact that they got the core original cast back, I mean, mm-hmm. just seeing them back together again and more zombie mayhem will be worth the price of admission alone. So I'm totally pumped to watch it. I mean, seriously, even in the worst movies, Woody Harrelson is still awesome. Oh, so I mean,
so good.
Whatever. I'll be watching it opening night.
He's so good, man. I love him.
Yeah.
All right, man. You're up. You're number 4. Ooh.
The good news is your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead. That's right. I'm talking about 1986 Fred Dekker's Night of the Creeps.
Yeah, good one.
This movie is, I mean, probably in my top 20, 25 movies of all time, let alone horror movies. It's one that I came to super late. It was probably like the early 2000s when Walmart around Halloween time would put out like really cheap DVDs of sometimes of lesser known movies like that I never heard about. And that was one. I just liked the cover and I had never heard of it. And I bought it and I fell in love. And that was my real introduction to Tom Atkins, who plays Detective Ray Cameron in this movie, who spouts off at the mouth the most iconic line of any movie he's ever been in: thrill me. I just love this movie. It's a total blast. It's the epitome of 80s horror comedy, and I think it's super underrated. I mean, I know in the fan community, it's very beloved, but I mean, honestly, it's still, I feel like it should be bigger. It should be a bigger deal, and I'm so happy and thankful that Shout Factory and NECA action figures put out a Ray Cameron action figure.
I didn't know that
I now have. It was a limited edition. You had to buy the special edition box set to get it, but it's in my possession, so I can hold Tom Atkins in my hand. Well, he's one of the most amazing people I've ever met, and he's one of my favorite horror actors ever. I mean, there's so much I could say about this movie. I think that an Epic Film Guys B-side should be happening about this movie sometime, but
until then... I would be very anxious to check that out. You know, that's a good one that I haven't seen in too many years, man. I got to revisit that one. In fact, this October when you guys do the Horror Movie Challenge, which I assume you will, I'll make sure to put that on the to-do list because I want to say it's been 7, 8, 9 years since I've seen that.
Wow.
So I got to revisit it, man. But that is a great flick, and I'm glad it got some love tonight. So well done, brother. So let's see. All right. Well, I'm keeping with my modern kind of approach here, up at least until I get up to my number one. This one's a couple years older than my number five, but you know, it was divisive, man. And I don't know. I haven't heard you talk about this movie on the Epic Film Guys, so I'm not sure where you and Nick fall on it. But I'm on the good side of this movie. Well, I can talk a little bit about why here in a second, but let me go ahead and name it. So my number four I'm going to name from 2007 is Planet Terror is my number four. It's a Robert Rodriguez film. Obviously, you're familiar with this, Justin.
That movie is fucking amazing. Oh, thank
God. I didn't know where you were going, man, because we're friendly. So I was like, is he about to rip me a new ass? Okay, good. Yeah, I love Planet Terror, man. I mean, the way this movie was marketed is what really got me, because I was obviously into Tarantino, which anybody of a certain age probably was in the late 90s to the mid 2000s, up until today, frankly. But in 2007, I definitely was. You know, Robert Rodriguez was also riding a high as one of the filmmakers that was really cutting edge. And they came together, and the marketing for this film was like, it was a Grindhouse double feature. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember that, Justin?
I do, because I saw the Grindhouse double feature opening night, and I have a story about it.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I want you to tell that. So, you know, that the way it was marketed just like appealed to me. Like, holy shit, like, you know, Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino, Grindhouse, just that edgy, like, just grainy cinema. And that's the way the movie is shot as well, both of them. But, you know, I'm talking about Planet Terror. I mean, you got Cherry in there, Rose McGowan at her hottest, bro, and just...
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, a machine gun for a leg. You know, the one scene where she kind of, you know, is at the height of her quote-unquote superpowers or whatever as the heroine in the movie, and how she... That one scene where she jumps into the air and it makes it look like she's floating in the sky, and she comes down and, like, shoots a missile at the zombies, and I don't know if you remember the scene I'm talking about.
Of course, it was in the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was almost like it was superhuman in a way, which, you know, it's obviously a supernatural kind of film or whatever. But yeah, I love it, man. I mean, Quentin Tarantino's got a really memorable cameo in that movie on the freight elevator when he's basically, you know, threatened to kick her ass or whatever. So yeah, I love it, man. I mean, Planet Terror was one of the first movies that it was one of the only movies that I can remember seeing, like, from a Grindhouse era type movie that was shot that way on the big screen. You know, now, I mean, you know this, but now I get spoiled with, like, the Alamo Drafthouse, because they'll do these vintage viewings of these movies, and I'm going to see The Toxic Avenger this weekend. And
oh, that's, you know, so great. That's so, you know, rad.
You know, I get to see all these movies now. But, I mean, in 2007, you couldn't do that. There weren't a lot of theaters doing stuff like that. So to be able to go see a movie shot like that kind of Grindhouse style, and then to dig it the way that I did, and to be so pleasantly surprised by it, it was awesome, man. So Planet Terror is my number four. What's your story about that?
Well, I mean, the simple fact is that I loved Planet Terror so much that once Death Proof started, I could only get through 15 minutes of it, and I said, I'm leaving. That's the story. I mean, because, I mean, they're two completely different.
They,
I mean,
are.
Like, Planet, yeah, Terror is balls to the wall, action, gore, violence. It's just, you know, total extravaganza. And then you get those awesome trailers in the middle there. Yep. And then Death Proof starts.
And one of them ended up being Machete, right?
That's right. Which became,
if I'm not mistaken,
an awesome movie all into itself.
Yeah,
the sequel, not so much. But So then, I mean, for me, I was like, I don't want to sit here and listen to slow, talky Tarantino dialogue. I'm like, I'm leaving. And then I went to the bar and got wasted. So, I mean, that's how that night went. But it's funny because I actually brought that story up over the weekend when I was at the Mahoning Drive-In Theater. Someone mentioned we were talking Tarantino. And, I mean, obviously, he's the subject of a lot of conversations now because of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that's how it came up. I just, you know. I bailed on Tarantino once, so sue me, whatever.
Well, a lot of people put Death Proof as his worst film, so you know, I don't think anybody would turn their nose up at you for that. I mean, I love him, obviously. I mean, he's one of the greats, and Rodriguez too. And they came together here, and just it was just a powerhouse double feature. I mean, you're right though; there were two completely different movies, and I almost wonder if they would have benefited by having Death Proof lead. In that double feature, but who knows? I mean,
I wondered the same thing myself. I mean, because literally,
it's history.
It's a snooze fest after, you know, what kind of action you go through and experience in Planet Terror. But all that aside,
all right, man. So you're up, dude. So what are we up to? You're number three. Go for it, man.
I know if any of our listeners or any of my horror peers listen to this, I may get some shit for where this movie is placed on this list. But as I preface this list with, this was hard. This was very, very hard. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. I'm talking about George Romero's 1978 classic, Dawn of the Dead. Rarely any horror movie can ever come close to this, let alone a zombie movie. And it's just so near and dear to my heart and special to so many people around the world, including myself. Yeah. I mean, it did something that, much like another movie that's probably coming up on my list in a little bit, it revolutionized the way zombie movies were.
Yeah.
And it did stuff that you never saw before in a movie. I mean, it's about a group of people, a hodgepodge group of people that go to this shopping mall, which at the time was a brand new thing. It was like a new thing in consumerism. Rent rapid with you know, what these kinds of shopping malls created with people and how, you know, the economic boom and just how consumerism basically took a stronghold on the American public at the time. And the movie has so much social commentary on that. And it's hilarious. It's gory as shit. And the characters are likable and relatable. And me being a gigantic fan of the history of malls and just loving malls in general, you know, they're on their way out. They're going the way of the dinosaur at this point. Mm-hmm. There's something super nostalgic about this movie for me in more ways than one. So, I mean, literally Romero's masterpiece. It's untouchable in my opinion. So Dawn of the Dead is my number three.
Take care of me, won't you, Peter? You take care of me when I go.
Just try to get some sleep, man. Save your strength.
I don't want to be walking around like that. Peter. Peter!
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Don't do it till you're sure I am coming back. I'm gonna try not to. I'm gonna try not to come back. I'm gonna try.
Dawn of the Dead is on my honorable mentions. This is another one that I bumped out for fear of you mentioning it. I love it. I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say Romero is an icon and is an absolute architect for this, for what we're talking about. And that's when you say that's his masterpiece, I'll talk a little bit about why I agree with you, but I also don't at the same time. But I'll try to explain myself as we get through our list here. But great pick, man. I mean, I love that movie. And like I said, it was originally in my top five, and I bumped it out at the last minute. So,
oh, that's so sad. That's so sad.
I know, man. But I knew you were going to talk about it. So now if you hadn't talked about it, I would have felt like an asshole. But you talked about it.
I would have felt like an asshole. I would probably be booed for the rest of my life if it wasn't on my list. So
this would have been your last podcast recording.
That'd be it.
All right, man. So my number three, I just watched today. I love this movie, man. And I knew I loved it, obviously. And I've been a fan of this movie since I saw it 15 years ago. It's a movie that's 15 years old. And I love the filmmaker. I love the actors. This is a You know, in my opinion, if you, and you know, someday, in fact, next year when we do our October, maybe we'll do this and we do top five horror comedies. I feel like this is the definition of a horror comedy, man. It's like they literally pay homage to the zombie genre while also making you laugh your ass off at the same time. It's Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead from 2004 is my number three. How do you feel about that?
An outright masterpiece. Unfortunately, could not get room for it on my list. It's definitely in my honorable mentions. When this movie came out, I fell in love. And this is one of the only movies that came out during that time period that I watched like on a daily basis. I'd come mm-hmm. home from work, it'd already be in the player. I'd watch it again and again yep. and again and again. And it literally is one of the best zombie movies of all time.
It really is, man.
One of the best horror comedies of all time as well. Even though it skimps on the horror a little bit.
It does.
I would have preferred a little bit more gore. But for what it is, it really is a special movie, and it came out of nowhere. You got to think back to when it came out. Like, it's just a shock that that kind of movie got made and was the success that it was.
You know, it's touching too. I mean, there's a romance at the core of it with Sean and Liz, and you know, he wants to do the right thing by her, and he wants to get his shit together. I think they actually put that on his to-do list, or get your life together. I can't remember what the wording was, but you know. That exists, and then you have obviously the zombie stuff, which is pretty traditional in terms of the zombies walking slowly and stalking and whatever. And then you just have the comedy, man. And I mean, Nick Frost is fucking hilarious in this movie, dude.
Your mum rang about going around tomorrow night, and then Liz rang about the two of you eating out tonight, and then your mum rang back to see if I wanted to eat her out tonight. What?
You know, it just so many iconic one-liners came out of this movie. And to me, it was like... It really did a really revolutionary thing if you think about it, because it was almost like it was poking fun at the traditional zombie movie, but at the same time paying homage to it.
100%.
You know, it was like a satirical way of saying, we love this, but it's also kind of silly. You know, and I don't know. It was just so beautiful that the way they did that. And the way Edgar Wright shoots a movie, you know, it's very Scott Pilgrim, right? It's very like fast cuts and close-ups. And, you know, when Sean's like using the bathroom, it'll close up on the toilet flushing, and then it'll close up on him. You know what I mean? Like those kind of like quick jump shots. You know, it's the same filmmaker, obviously. So, but, you know, Edgar Wright has a way, a knack of making that very interesting and keeping you kind of in the loop. And what's cool about Shaun of the Dead, too, is that, you know, Sean and his buddy, played by Nick Frost, are just kind of, you know, slackers. You know, they're just kind of wandering through life, you know, kind of like zombies. And I don't know if you remember in the opening, well, I guess you do since you watched it every day for a year, but in that opening scene when Sean is going to the convenience store and he's passing before everyone's turned, you know, and he's passing them and they're all kind of like zombies, you know, just kind of going through their daily routine. And then the next day when he's going to the store, they actually are zombies, but he can't tell the difference because
he doesn't even notice.
You're right, because that's the way they're leading their lives prior to being turned. So I don't know, man. I just thought it was ingenious and it's just hilarious. I mean, it's a horror movie. It's a zombie movie, but you laugh through 90 minutes of it. It's great, man. And there's the romance in there as well. So Shaun of the Dead, one of my favorite movies ever, and definitely one of my favorite zombie movies, is my number three, man.
Honestly, I can't wait for that Cornetto trilogy to come out next month on 4K Ultra HD, specifically just for Shaun of the Dead. And also a note, I think the bromance, the friendship in the movie is extremely... It's amazing, it's well done, and it's one of the most important things about the movie. And also noting the fact that when this movie came out, zombie movies weren't in vogue yet. It wasn't a thing yet. So when it came out, it was a shock that it did as well as it did, and it caught on. And I think, you know, pre-Walking Dead, it's responsible in a way for so much of what made the zombie cool again. So
I could see that. I could agree with that. I agree with you 100%.
So I got a question for you.
Yep.
Do you want a party? It's party time. I just hosted this movie last month at my horror film club at Alamo Drafthouse, DC area, Ashburn. It's Dan O'Bannon's The Return of the Living Dead.
Hell yes, brother.
Much like Dawn of the Dead kind of really changed the face of zombie movies in the late 70s, Dan O'Bannon's Return of the Living Dead one-upped it and went a completely opposite direction of that and really changed it again. It made it completely different. Originally, this movie was intended to be, and it still kind of is, a loose sequel to Night of the Living Dead. Due to rights issues and Romero's not wanting to be involved, it became its own thing, but the Living Dead name wasn't copywritten, so anyone could have used it at that point. And Dan O'Bannon, who also wrote Ridley Scott's Alien, came up with a really interesting take, an awesome blend of comedy, horror, and really awesome characters. And of course, growing up loving punk rock and metal, this movie feels punk rock. It looks punk rock. It's edgy, but it's also extremely lovable in the same way as a lot of other movies of the time. And it feels pure 80s, but it's also timeless, if that makes any sense at all.
It makes perfect sense to me, brother. Yeah. I don't want to... I'm like sitting here shaking my legs, like ready to go nuts, but it's coming up on my list. So I'm going to hang tight, but I want you to continue to gush about it. I fucking love this movie, bro. This is it's just a revolution, man. This is a movie that is, I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, but I agree with you. It's punk rock. It's different, but the same. And it just invigorates fans of this genre because of so many different, it took so many things that we were familiar with and made them different.
That's right.
And, you know, and that's why I love it. So,
yeah, I mean,
I agree with the pick.
It's the first time that zombies get that association with wanting to eat brains. I mean, in Tar Man, it's also, I mean, Romero had his iconic zombies. Make no mistake, they're there. We have names for them. We know what they are. But Tar Man is really the first time where you got a character actor like that portrayed a zombie in a way that we never seen before. And he's iconic, and he's only in the movie for like literally, I mean, a total of like 10 minutes.
Really. Yeah.
You know, so amazing movie. It's so much fun. And the way that it played last month when we screened it, it just went fucking great. I mean, people were going bonkers, just going wild. Oh, man.
I would too. I was going to ask how that screening went. You know, my Alamo does stuff frequently too, and I'm wondering if they'll bring this one around to my local one because I would be there in a fucking heartbeat, brother. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I'll be talking about it here in a minute, man, but I definitely agree with the pick. So that's your number two, The Return of the Living Dead. All right, man. So look, my number two, and this is going to sound weird, but this is a movie that I don't know that you've seen. And I'm going to give you homework. And by give you homework, I mean I'm going to bother you every day between now and October.
I think I already know what it is.
Until I know that you've seen it. But this movie fucking blew me away, brother. In fact, we were just talking about y'all's horror challenge. So last October is the first time I saw this. I watched this a year ago.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
And this movie is phenomenal, dude. It is a... It's okay. It's called Train to Busan.
Yep, that's where I was going. I knew it was where you were going because Paul from the Countdown also gave me shit like a year ago for not watching it, and I still haven't watched it. And yes,
you have got to. You know
I'm
how you
committing
said
a sin. Yeah.
You know how you said when we get done tonight, you might watch a movie. I urge you to watch this, especially if you have Netflix because it's on there.
I do.
But from 2016, Train to Busan is a modern version of all the things that we're talking about tonight, Justin. I mean, this movie pays homage and it borrows from all the things that came before it, from Romero on down the line, Shaun of the Dead even. I mean, all the things that we're talking about tonight, you can see hints of it in Train to Busan. And what's very intriguing about Train to Busan and what makes it such an amazing movie to me is that I've never seen a zombie movie before since that is emotional. Like, it's a very... I cried during this movie. This is a zombie movie very much in the vein of, like, a World War Z, which is on my honorable mention, so I hope I'm not spoiling your list there. But it's very much in the vein of that in terms of the zombie action, so to speak. But it's very emotional. There's a father-daughter story at the core of this movie that makes you feel things, brother. And at the last act of this film and the way that it goes down for the dad and the daughter... I mean, just thinking about it right now, I'm getting teary-eyed because it's a very, I mean, it's like they meet their end for the zombie apocalypse, and the way that it happens is just, you just feel shit that you never thought you would feel during a zombie movie. It's just phenomenal that it was able to do that. You know, there's subtitles. I mean, it's a foreign film. It's an Asian film, but it's just great, man. The performances are amazing. There's a lot of great sub-characters in the film. The child actors in it are awesome. And I love the makeup and the special effects in the movie. It's on Netflix right now. And especially you, Justin, being a horror guy. I mean, it literally, and I know you were kidding, but it literally is a sin that you...
No, I know. It's been in my queue. It's been in my queue since last year, man. It's been there. I don't know why.
But, you know, I've been watching, you know, zombie movies today, like I was telling you, and I'm on a high right now, bro. And I think I'm going to go watch it when we get done. And I would urge you to do the same, and I'll message you, and we'll say, hey, you know, I can't believe I didn't see this or whatever. But I love it, man. I mean, you know, Paul's right. It really, I want to say Dan from Netflix and Swill, a mutual buddy of ours, I want to say he recommended it to me last year during the horror challenge. And I was kind of like, because I get a little, at home, I get a little, like, weary of subtitles at home because I'm afraid I'm going to lose focus. Do you know what I mean? So
I totally I gotcha, man. I get it.
In the theater, I'm okay, but at home, I feel like I'm going to miss something, you know? But I was just so glad I did it, man. I've watched it once since then. I'm going to watch it again this year. Like I said, I might even watch it tonight. But it is a great movie. And when you watch it, Justin, remember my voice telling you how you're just going to feel an emotional connection to the characters, which... You know, I'm not saying there's not...
I don't want to cry, though. I don't want to cry tonight, Gerald. You're trying to make me cry. I can't
Tears
cry
on the pillow, bro. Get ready. I'm not saying there's not an emotional connection to some of the characters in the zombie movies that we might be mentioning tonight, but Train to Busan does something different because it's almost like it's a father-daughter drama with zombies in the backdrop, if that makes sense. I just loved it, man. It's a great movie. I definitely recommend anyone out there that has not seen Train to Busan to check it out from 2016. It's my number two, man. All right, dude. So look, we are up to our... Are you going to watch that, by the way? You're going to watch that? Can I count on you? Before you go to Italy.
I probably won't watch it tonight. Because to be honest with you, it sounds like something my wife, Danielle, would want to watch as well.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Bring as many people as you can. Has Loy seen it? Do you know?
Oh, of course. I say, of course, thinking that I know everything he watches, considering he watches way more than I do.
But I was going to say, considering you're his daddy, but I don't know where you're...
Well, don't make me get the belt out on him for not watching it. I honestly don't know, because, I mean, he watches so much more than I do, but I don't recall him ever mentioning it to me. And usually when he watches something that blows him away, regardless of what it is, he'll mention it to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer to that.
We'll get Danielle, and you guys check it out, and just let me know when you do. But definitely this Halloween season, make sure you check it out. Put it on the to-do list. But yeah, Train to Busan is my runner-up. All right, man, so we are on to our number ones, dude. I mean...
Yeah, and you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. You know what it is.
I have a pretty strong idea, but go ahead.
Gerald, they won't stay dead. They're coming to get you, Barbara. I mean, there's no way. There's no way this can't be my number one. It's the granddaddy of all zombie pictures. And when I said earlier that Dawn was George Romero's masterpiece, this is still George Romero's other masterpiece.
Okay, I had issue with it earlier.
You can have more than one. I mean, just look at Spielberg. Just look at Scorsese.
True.
I mean,
like, that's true.
I mean, literally, he crafted something by mistake here. I mean, they were just a bunch of guys trying to make a movie with a $114,000 budget in the heartland of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, it's truly special how this movie got made and the
outcome. Give them the title.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, there you go. Night of the Living Dead, 1968.
That's right.
Carry on. Go ahead.
I mean, what hasn't been said about this movie?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's tragic. And it's the first time we've ever seen zombies the way we consider them zombies today. Mm-hmm. He literally pioneered a genre. You'd seen zombies in movies prior to Night of the Living Dead, but it always had to do with voodoo. Or it was literally just dudes that were walking slow and standing there still talking. This is the first time we saw them as we know from the film, they're called ghouls, flesh eaters, because the original title was Night of the Flesh Eaters. And we actually see the zombies eating human remains, which they used real animal parts and intestines and livers for them to eat in the movie. All of the extras were just people that were friends of George's or people that did business with him or ad agencies that were helping make the movie. It was just a hodgepodge of all these different talents coming together, and they made something that I think will live on to be...
That's what I love about it.
Criterion released a 4K restoration of it. I mean, that means that it's that special when Criterion gets its hands on something like a Night of the Living Dead, like a zombie movie. And I just have to say, it's like, I think about all the time, all the regrets I have on all the filmmakers that I didn't get a chance to meet, the Toby Hoopers, the Wes Cravens, but I'm super appreciative and thankful that I did have an opportunity to shake the hand of and sit next to and meet George Romero, who at the time obviously wasn't doing very well. It was like a year before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And just to see, I mean, it was him. He had the vest on, the glasses, the hair tied back, and he had the laugh, and he smelled like the cigarettes that I knew he was still smoking when he went outside on his break. Mm-hmm. And just to know that this guy created something so special, I mean, very few directors create something that lives on. I mean, The Walking Dead wouldn't be there without Night of the Living Dead.
None of tonight would be, man. Yeah, wouldn't be recording
none
this
of
episode.
None of it. None of the movies on this list. And I think it's not just to give it credit for what it's done, but it's an amazing movie.
It really
literally is a fantastic, brilliant film, And even when you watch it now, I mean, when I watched the new 4K restoration on the big screen last year when it got released, it hit me in all the same places it did when I watched it for the first time as a kid. It's still fucking scary as shit. The atmosphere is brilliant, and the characters are so well thought through and developed and written and acted. It's just brilliant.
I agree with you, man. I love it. It is... I mean, Romero's a pioneer. We've already talked about that. He's an icon. And this movie is a foundation piece that, you know, when you're building a house, you got to build the foundation. This is the foundation. So, you know, the episode tonight's the house. And without this episode, without this movie, we wouldn't be having this episode. You know, I feel like anything undead, zombie, owes a debt of gratitude and a nod to this film. You know, in college, it's been many, many, many years, but when I was in college, I took a genre filmmaking course, and that was the first time I was introduced to this movie. And my professor, his Professor Honeycutt, showed us this film in class, and I remember being literally in awe. And I had a friend, Candace, that was in a group with me. We had projects we had to do for this class, and even she, who was not really a horror person, was just like, that was amazing. Because, you know, what my professor told me at the time is that what he loved about this particular piece of genre filmmaking was that they were trying to figure it out. You know, they were using what they had to put together a piece of art, and they did. And what it spawned was us having a class talking about it. And just think about that. So it was part of the curriculum in a college course, you know, 20 years ago. So just phenomenal, man. I mean, I took it off my list because I was, in fact, I was really, really scared when you brought up Dawn of the Dead earlier that you weren't going to mention this. It's going to end up being my number 6. But this is the zombie film, man. I mean, none of these exist without 1968's Night of the Living Dead. So I obviously agree with you, man.
Well, you used to really be scared here.
Johnny.
You're still afraid.
Stop it now. I mean it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're acting like a child.
Look, they're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
He'll hear you.
Here he comes now. I'm getting out of here.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Great pick, brother. All right, so look, you already talked about my number one, and, you know, it's a personal pick. I mean, when I do these lists, if any first-time listeners are listening, you know, when I do this list and when I invite my guests on, we pick our 5 favorites. So it's not the consensus top 5. This is just my favorite, you know, in this instance, zombie movies. So my favorite zombie movie of all time, I just rewatched literally before we press record. I finished it. I've seen it probably 30 times. From 1985, The Return of the Living Dead is my number one. Absolutely love this movie. You know, you were talking about it earlier. It was your number two. You said you just screened it last month at the Alamo. This movie is 80s. It's 80s, man. And it's
pure 80s. 100%.
It's literally like, let's do a pop-up video of the 1980s and have zombies roaming around and the threat of zombies in the background. You know, this movie's awesome, man. I mean, you know, you mentioned Tobe Hooper earlier. I had read that he was originally signed on to direct this film. I'm so glad that this turned out to be the piece of work that it was, even though I love Hooper. But, you know, the reason I put this number one is because I'm an 80s junkie. This came out in 85. I mean, think of all the great movies that were coming out in this era. I mean, you got Back to the Future in 85. You got Top Gun. You got Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You got all these movies that I love. And then you got Return of the Living Dead. And I remember when I saw that, I want to say I was 11 or 12 years old, bro. You got, what is it, Angela? That's running around naked the entire movie. I mean, and she's hot, bro. I mean, she's not, you know, she has a body on her. She's running around the entire movie naked. There's a very, like, it's funny. You know, there's funny parts to it. There's funny characters in the movie. But there's also a sense of dread in the movie. So it's weird because, and I know a lot of people give me the tag Creepy Gerald, that's fine, but this is a movie that you're scared, you're laughing, and you're aroused for like 90 minutes. That's how I remember feeling at 12 years old when I saw this movie.
Do you ever fantasize about being killed?
Never.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying? you know, violently. I wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
Try not to think about dying too much.
Well, for me, the worst way would be for a bunch of old men to get around me and start biting and eating me alive.
I see.
First, they would tear off my clothes.
Let's get some light over here. Ash is taking off her clothes again.
Let's get the roof in light.
In darkness, you will bite me. I dance among the dead. But very soon, I'll be
It was definitely one of the first horror movies, quote-unquote horror movies I ever saw. I was very young. And like I said, I've seen it probably 30 times since then. I just watched it again tonight. I'll watch it again in October. I love this movie, man. The soundtrack is punk rock. The soundtrack actually lives on. You know, a lot of people quote the soundtrack as being, it has some of the greatest punk rock musicians on there.
Yeah, man. I listen to it all the time.
I know you already talked about it, man, but I was kind of chomping at the bit to throw in my two cents there, but... You know, from a zombie perspective, and you're much more of an aficionado than I am, but from a zombie perspective, I mean, you already kind of mentioned it, but eating brains and then walking around going, brains. This was the first time we saw that. You know, this was the kind of the beginning of what, and that exists now, you know, zombies eating brains. And before they were kind of flesh eaters, and you were talking about Romero, and I know he was kind of connected to this, but wasn't, and, you know... The Living Dead, he didn't want to be a part of, so he did Dawn of the Dead and so on and so forth. But you can see his influence here, obviously.
100%.
And they even mention Night of the Living Dead in the movie, bro. So
yeah, breaking that fourth wall a little bit there.
That is so great, man, that they do that. I love this movie so much, man. Anybody that does any kind of like October film viewing or... anything like that, you got to throw this into the mix because it is definitely one of the best. It is pure 80s, and I am an 80s junkie, so you know I love it, man. But that's my number one. It was your number two, so I'm kind of glad we're crossed over there, to be honest. I didn't know you screened that last month. I think you probably put that on Facebook, but I guess I didn't see it.
I put everything on fucking Facebook. Yeah,
I know.
And one last note about Return of the Living Dead. Linnea Quigley's trash is...
Yeah,
the most sexy chick.
That's what I'm. Horror, that's what I meant.
Horror punk chick in any movie.
Am I right, bro?
Her dancing in the graveyard is still to this day. I mean that her doing that. Yeah. That's how she got married the first time. Dude saw her doing that on the set.
I didn't know that.
I'm marrying that chick, and that's how she got married for the first time.
Hey, I mean that guy's a fucking American hero. I don't blame him.
Even though I'm sure everyone notices that fun fact when she's up there dancing, if you look down in her crotch area, there's a piece of I forgot what kind of skin it was. They used like a real animal skin of some kind to cover her vaginal area, if you will.
Sure.
So didn't see anything like that. So when you see that, back when you'd watch the VHS, you probably couldn't even tell. But now when you watch it, and you know. The restoration, you're like, oh, I can see that now. But she's just hanging around the graveyard naked, just wants to party, just wants to dance.
Exactly.
And this the attitude that just sees through the mouth of this movie, you never seen anything like it at all. I could keep going on forever. Of course, we could do a whole episode about it. We're not doing
Absolutely.
It. I'm going to shut up right now.
No, please don't, man. I mean, I love this movie so much, and I love when other people do as well. But she, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, and that was part of the element that was thrown in. It was a little dangerous, right? I mean, I was 12 years old seeing it. I mean, imagine, you know, a 12-year-old seeing that in the midst of a zombie horror movie. So, you know, this one and probably Jaws were the first, like, two horror movies I saw at a very young age. I want to say I saw those around the same time when I was, like, 11 or 12. So, of course, it's my number one zombie movie because it was just so impressionable on me. Kind of like what you were saying with Dead Alive. I mean, it was, like, the first, like, movie I saw that would be in the subgenre, so... It has, you know, it had the factor of arousal, right? You were kind of excited seeing it.
It still does it, man. I ain't bullshitting. Yeah. It still does it for me.
Please don't, man. I mean, I agree with you. I watched it tonight. And I'm like, she's fucking hot, bro.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just the kind of the punk rock kind of vibes that they create are hot, you know, and cool, you know. And then you have the zombies and you're scared because you care for these characters. There's a great character development in there. And you for Freddy and, you know, some of the other guys. And when, I can't remember his name, but when, you know, he sacrifices himself and he kind of burns himself alive so he doesn't have to go through the whole transformation. What was that character's name? I can't remember for some reason. But you know what I'm talking about. But that was a beautiful kind of swan song for that character.
Frank,
too, I thought.
Yeah, when Frank.
Yep, Frank, right. Yep, absolutely. Yep. So it's a great movie, man. I know you already talked about it, but that's my number one, The Return of the Living Dead from 1985. The only movie on my list that was not released in the last 15 years. Can you believe that? Don't shame me, dude.
I kind of can, Gerald. I'm not totally shocked. I knew what I was getting into with this countdown of movies, man. Our top five zombie movies.
Well, we only had the one crossover, though, so that's good news.
I'm fine with that.
Give a wrap-up of your top five again, man. What was your 5-1?
Dead Alive, Night of the Creeps, Dawn of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead, and Night of the Living Dead.
All right, my top five were Zombieland, Planet Terror, Shaun of the Dead, Train to Busan, and The Return of the Living Dead is my number one. All right, man, so we're going to head over to social media in a minute to hear what the fans had to say. They had a lot of good feedback over there. Some that we mentioned, some that we didn't. But before we do that, I have 5 honorable mentions to round up my top 10. Do you have any that you want to shout out real quick?
Oh, I have a handful, yeah.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, so you had already mentioned Shaun, so Shaun would be on there. But the two other movies that battled for my number 5, this was extremely difficult because I wanted to get all 3 of them in there. Mm-hmm. But the most notable would, of course, be Stuart Gordon's Reanimator, another one of the best horror comedies ever made. And Lucio Fulci's Zombie, the Italian zombie movie, which is still one of the most visceral, brutal, almost disgusting zombie movies ever made. And also most serious. I mean, it's got one of the most insane kills of all time with a gigantic splinter of wood going through a chick's eye. And it's, God, I love that kill so much. It gives me goosebumps. Yeah. Other than that, Romero's Day of the Dead. And Zack Snyder's 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead. I think it's fantastic.
Interesting.
I think
interesting.
Yeah, it's underrated. Yeah,
it was definitely respectable.
It is. And he does his own thing with the concept. And I still think it's one of Zack Snyder's best movies ever. And of course, 1980s City of the Living Dead, which is another Lucio Fulci movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of great Italian zombie movies. There's like a shitload of them. They're their own genre.
And ironically, you're going to Italy.
I am.
Record this, so
I am. That's right.
Yikes! Be careful out there, man. Zombies roaming the streets. All right. So look, my 6-10. We've already mentioned literally all of them except one, and I think you're going to be shocked by my number 10. But my number 6 would have been Night of the Living Dead. It was in my top 5. It is the foundation we already talked about. My number 7 would have been Dead Alive. My number 8 would have been World War Z. I like that movie, man. I'm a Brad Pitt kind of like fanboy, though, so I wonder if that's...
I'm glad somebody likes it, because I fucking don't.
You know what? I've heard you say that on the EFG. It was a new angle for the zombies themselves. They were fucking fast and smart, but... I don't know. I'm a Brad Pitt apologist, man. I love him. So I don't know. I was glad to see zombies kind of back in the mainstream there. So I like that one. But I understand. I get the criticism.
Don't get me started.
I'll try not to. We only got a few minutes left. My number 9 would have been Dawn of the Dead from 78. The Romero. And then listen to this, bro. So my number 10 would have been a movie that I share with my son, who is 5 years old. So to be able to share a zombie movie and a horror-centric movie with my 5-year-old son is very special to me. And this is a piece of art, dude. But it's a film from Lakia Studios called Paranorman.
Paranorman's great.
Would be my number 10.
That's a fantastic movie.
It's a stop motion animated film. But if you want to get started light in the zombie genre, start with Paranorman. If you want to watch a zombie movie with your kids, watch Paranorman. It's creepy. It's got zombies in it. It's got the undead in it. It's got ghosts in it. But it's a kid-friendly or a family-friendly kind of version of that story. And Paranorman's a great young hero in the movie. We watched it the last 2 years. I've done October viewings with my son where we'll watch stuff that's appropriate for him. And last year, I introduced him to Paranorman and Coraline. And he loved both of them. So that's my number 10, man. All right, so I tell you what, brother. We're going to head over to social media if you're cool with it. And we're going to give some fans some shout-out in
a section we call
the Suggestion Box. Justin, so some that we've mentioned. Now, Dan, I already told you, but from Netflix and Swill, he put up a GIF of Train to Busan. So no shocker there. Phil Rude said Shaun of the Dead. Tony Dobbish from Take Two said he's got too many to choose from, but he says the original Night of the Living Dead, the remake of Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Creeps is a lot of fun as far as zom-coms go. How do you like the term zom-coms?
Look what
that's
he did
the
there.
Thing now, right?
Yeah, look
that's
what
the
he
thing
did
now,
there.
Right? Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Caleb also from Netflix and Swill, so no shocker that he said Train to Busan. Colby Mack from Colby Told Me has got Shaun of the Dead. Justin Winter says it's not even close. It's Return of the Living Dead. He mentioned no other movies. I agree with him. It's my number one, so he's right as far as I'm concerned. Jeff Burnham from the Cadaver Cast. Have you listened to Jeff's show?
I have not. Justin? I have not.
So Jeff does this show called Cadaver Cast where him and his, I want to say his son Al is like 8 years old now. And what he'll do is he'll pose a horror figure to his 7 or 8 year old son. And his 7 or 8 year old son will tell what he thinks that villain's shtick is. So he'll say, who is Jason Voorhees? You know, and kind of give a basic setup. And then the kid will say what he thinks Jason's like villainy is. It's a really cool show they have. It's really cute. To hear his son kind of talk about horror in a roundabout way. But he says Dawn of the Dead from 1978 is his number one. Now, here's something I wanted to ask you, Justin, because neither one of us mentioned this, and it got a ton of shout-outs, especially over on Twitter. But Becca over on the Facebook fan book page, she'll be the first one that'll mention this. She said 28 Days Later.
I have a specific reason as to why.
Go ahead. I do too.
I don't think it's a zombie movie at face value only. They're infected people. Right. For me, they really have to be the undead. You can't you can't be a normal person that's alive and get like an injection of some kind that turns you into a crazy fucking asshole. Like you have to die and come back from the dead. In most cases, in order for me to consider it zombie. So,
right.
I like that movie.
Quote, zombie.
Yeah, right. I like that movie. I think it's very well done. I remember watching that one all the time, too, but I just don't consider it a zombie movie, personally.
Right. It's a great movie, and so is 28 Weeks Later, to be honest. But I just don't see them as zombies either. So, I agree with you because they're not the undead. But a ton of shout-outs for that one, and it's obviously a great film. Tony Vandenbush over on over on Facebook said The Reanimator, which you already mentioned, which is a spin on H.P. Lovecraft, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Stuart Gordon loves messing with those.
All right. And then I'll just mention a few over on Twitter. Let me see if there's any, Justin. I'll edit some of this out if I need to. Let me see if there's any that haven't been mentioned yet. So The Pope in the Pool over on Twitter. Interesting handle. They say their actual favorite is Shaun of the Dead, but to be more interesting, they would recommend One Cut from the Dead, which is very funny. Do you know One Cut from the Dead? I don't know that one.
I am vaguely familiar with it, but I have never watched it before.
Yeah, I have not seen that one either. Colin Parrington also gave a shout out for 28 Days Later, and then the After Movie Dinner said 28 Days Later is a disease movie. It's not technically a zombie movie.
Couldn't agree more.
Sorry, I am a zombie nerd stickler. Colin just kind of gave a like, whoops, okay, gotcha. Let's see. How about Resident Evil? So Critical Onion's True Crime podcast over on Twitter said they had a few other ones. Let me just go through their list real quick. They had Dawn of the Dead, Zombieland, World War Z, and Resident Evil. How do you feel about those films?
Buddy, I think they're trash.
The first one?
The first one is at best.
It's okay.
At best, even now watching it. I saw that shit in the theater opening night. It's passable, barely passable, only because Mila is stunning to look at in that movie. Yeah. That's basically it. I mean, after that, they're all fucking trash.
Yeah, I liked the first one. I respected the first one, but after that, I was kind of like, what are you guys doing? Let's see. Tyler Howitt over on Twitter says, Shaun of the Dead and 28 Days Later. We already kind of talked about both of those. And then the last one I'll mention, because I know you'll like this, Fry Gay the 13th. So it's two gay dudes that do a horror podcast. It's called Fry Gay the 13th. But they mentioned Night of the Creeps, and they put up the gif of the good news is your dates are here.
Hey, Fry Gay, come thrill me, baby. You know, I'm surprised. Not to go long or anything, but you know, I'm surprised that movie Fido didn't show up. I actually liked that movie Fido. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It's been a long time, and I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a heartwarming little family story about having a zombie as like basically like your pet slash butler. Yeah, I liked that, but not good enough to make any lists.
I like the zombie genre that it's, you can recreate it, man. You can put it in so many different, in fact, Justin, we should get together and write a script and just come up with a new angle, you know?
There's so much you can do with it, man.
It really is. I mean,
even Arnold Schwarzenegger did a zombie movie, and I don't hate it. I thought it was pretty good, actually. It's probably his best performance he's done in 20 years that he gave in Maggie. So, I mean, literally everyone has tried it. They've taken their stab at doing a zombie movie.
No pun intended. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even Frankenweenie, you know, as animated, Tim Burton. I mean, there's so many different angles you could do with this genre. I love zombie movies. I love Halloween. I love October. I know you do as well. Justin, let's get together in person, man. We're gonna get together in a couple months. And I don't know, man, when you and Lloyd come to town, we might have to throw something up on social media and do like a 10-minute recording. Like, this is our top five beers that we just drank or something. I don't know.
I'd love to, man. I'd love to. If I'm sober and coherent enough to record anything, I'll be sure to do so.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So, Justin from the Epic Film Guys, tell the world as if they don't know, man. I mean, anybody who listens to 2Ps knows you guys, but where can they find you guys, brother?
Dude, we're literally the whores of the podcasting realm. In particular, my co-host, Nick. He just splatters his juice all over the place, but... We're literally on every social media platform at Epic Film Guys. And of course, you can check us out on any pod catcher that you like, and then epicfilmguys.com. And of course, we're on Spotify, so I know a lot of people use that. We're there. We're hanging out. We're waiting for you.
Yeah, I love your show, man. You know, we got to chat Midsummer a couple months ago, which was a blast. I mean, have me back anytime, man. You know, I'm a big fan of the Epic Film Guys. I'm a patron over there, and I love what you and Nick do.
Appreciate that very much, sir.
Absolutely, man. It's cool, too, because you guys are obviously tight, but it's cool because it's almost always two separate viewpoints to whatever movie you're talking about. Like, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's always like a really cool, you get two perspectives in the same show, which I like. You know, even me and Andy are victim to that, where we'll be very agreeable most of the time. Like, oh, yeah, you're right. That is a great flick, you know? But Nick's just like, fuck you, this movie sucks.
I always say, man, life would be really boring. It would be extremely boring. I wouldn't be able to do a podcast with him if he agreed with me all the time. I mean, that's
right.
That's why we literally are the yin and the yang. We're the two sides of the coin. And then when Loy Sauce is on, he just interjects his sauce all over the both of us, and then it's just,
yeah, he does.
It's a giant
orgy.
Or in
his sock.
So,
or
I mean,
in his sock. Yeah. Either way.
That's right. If he doesn't have the sock, it's going all over my face.
So shout out to Loy Sauce. You know, my daughter just started college last week, right? And Loy Sauce sent me, for her, I should say for her, but he sent it to me, a movie poster of The Favorite, which is like her favorite, no pun intended, movie of the last like 10 years. The Yorgos Lanthimos. Have you seen that? Don't fucking tell me you haven't seen that.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay, good. All right. Because I know, when we were recording that episode.
I was there when he grabbed the poster to go send it out to you. So I know all about it. Yeah. I thought the movie was fantastic. I mean,
well, it's on her wall. It's on her wall in her dorm room. So she has over her bed. I can show you a photo. I showed it. I texted it to Nick, but over her bed, she has, you know, and I'm not even kidding, dude. This is her wall next to her bed. She has Scream, The Favorite, and American Beauty. Those are the three movie posters she has over her
wonderful
bed.
Choices.
So
three
I did
very
something
different
right,
kinds
dude.
Of movies.
Right, I did something right, right? I'm doing pretty good over here. I got the whole fatherhood thing on lockdown, I guess. I don't know. So, all right, man. So that was our top five zombie movies. Justin, you know I love you, brother, and I respect your opinion, especially in the world of horror. So I'm so glad you were able to come on. Let's make it happen again sooner than later. Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it. Happy Halloween, brother.
I'm already in Halloween mode right now, so happy Halloween to everybody out there, all of your listeners. And of course, any chance I get, I'd love to come back. I love you too. We appreciate all of your support, all your love over at EFG, and 2Ps, that's what's up, motherfucker. I'll be back.
Absolutely, man. All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Happy Halloween.
Just like You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.